is your cup half full or half empty? If a stranger would cut you on the street and ask you this question, what would be your answer?
Depends on the day.
There is a woman, Sarah Ann Rodberg, tells a story that she was once waiting on a red light. I think it was in Washington, D.C., I think. And somebody asked her, is your cup half full or half empty? She said, she looked at him, she says, neither. My cup is overflowing, running over. He told her, this man introduced himself as one of the advisors of Barack Obama, and he told her, ask the question, hundreds of people, maybe thousands, any person he meets, says, I never got such an answer. 20 years ago, this woman, she was diagnosed with cancer, with breast cancer. They told it to her on a Friday afternoon. I told her, go home, there's no doctors here in the hospital, go home, come Monday. Take the news and go home. Mm-hmm. You can just imagine, she had just a baby born. She was devastated. She went to the video store, video rental.
Back when they had those, yeah.
Yes. And she rented every comedy video that was available. Because she remembered to read that there is the therapeutic laughter. There's a famous guy, Cousin, a famous guy who made a whole study about it, that laughter can cure you. She decided she's going home, she put her baby to sleep, and she cried, but she started to listen to one after the other, after the other, after the other. And she realized that she's still alive, there is still somebody here who can laugh, who can relax, and gave her hope and gave her optimism to life. And she decided she's going to take the laughter, the humor, the comedy, and use it as a tool to overcome everything.
Yep.
Every time she used to get the chemo, she used to make a chemo party in the hospital with all the other patients who are getting chemo.
Yep.
And she was there. She used to scream and laugh and this and bring jokes. And it was unbelievable. After 3 surgeries, 40 radiation treatments, and 2 years of chemotherapy, the doctors sent her home. They told her, we cannot help you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She had stage 4 of cancer. She decided she's not going to give up.
Mm-hmm.
She's made from this material of people that they don't give up. She has a history behind her, with her parents. She grew up to a blind mother, and so on. She said she's not going to give up. She's going to share her joy, her secret with everybody else. She created a nonprofit. It's called Comedy Cure. And she decided to go around and to create events, and share this with every. She was speaking to people, to soldiers who came back from Iraq, from everybody who is dealing with stress and with everything. And she touched millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's on the internet and it's everywhere. And during COVID, she's to over 20 years since they told her that she has 4-stage cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And her cancer is in remission.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing amazingly well. She raised her daughter. She graduated high school. She graduated college. She's working her daughter now. Everything, when the doctor said, oh, you can go home, there's not no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can anybody promise you that laughter will help you? No. Nobody can promise you anything. Just like any other treatment, can any doctor promise you anything?
Right.
She says, isn't there a better way to live your life, whatever is left, in a sense of joy and laughter than being depressed and miserable?
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that humor helps not only people with this kind of sickness, with a
terminal disease.
Terminal disease. Also with many other problems. For example, muscles.
Mm-hmm.
when you laugh, you use muscles that you don't use on a regular basis. That you exercise your muscles. Also, they say laughter helps losing weight. They said that they made a study, an hour of laughter burns 555 calories.
Really?
2 minutes of laughter is like 50 minutes running on a treadmill. That's great news for me, I can tell you that.
Exactly.
The laughter reduces blood pressure, chances for heart attack. It even cures all problems of breathing, of respiratory diseases. COVID, laughter helps everything. How much more laughter helps for emotional and psychological problems? The study shows when a person laughs, what happens? He stops worrying. And this moment, there is places to come in good thoughts, positive, optimistic thoughts are coming in. And he can start to think more positive about life. There is studies show that when children laugh, their achievements in studies are higher. And this is also, it's not a new thing, the Talmud says it. A Talmudic rabbi, Rove, who lived in Babylon, before he used to start the class, his lecture, he used to make a joke. Throw a joke. That why Rashi says that the heart should open up and they should be able to hear. Mm-hmm. They should get excited. In Judaism and in Hasidic philosophy and life especially, we're concentrating not so much on humor, which is more an outside thing, a fluff thing that disappears, evaporates after you finish with the joke, mm-hmm. but on simcha and joy, finding real joy. See, in 1973, 3 days after Yom Kippur War, the Rebbe made a Farbrengen. A Farbrengen by the Rebbe to the Hasidim was a big gathering that included singing, a lot of singing, L'chaim. The main thing was lectures from the Rebbe. Rebbe was teaching Torah. Then among the talks, the Rebbe says, many people wonder, a Farbrengen, when in Israel they're fighting for their survival, so many people are being, he didn't go into details, but he says, in such a time, a Farbrengen. The Rebbe said something very interesting. He said the Baal Shem Tov said, he used to tell his Hasidim on a regular basis, there is a verse in the Bible that said, God is your shadow. Hashem Tzilcha. What is a shadow? Who is creating the shadow? The man. Mm-hmm. I walk, you create the shadow. The shadow is a reflection of you.
Yeah, follows you.
God is your shadow. If you are happy, you'll see in the shadow happiness. If you are depressed, you'll see in the shadow depression. Whatever you are, that's what's going to be in the shadow. And there is, in a different way, the same message from the Zohar. The Zohar is the Bible of the Kabbalah, right? The ultimate book of the Kabbalah. The Zohar says that the face of God is just like your face. God is a reflection of you. You smile, God will smile to you. You say, oh, yo, God will do oh, yo, to you. Exactly. He will give you back what you wish for. Mm-hmm. And therefore, this is why it's so important. He says, just in days of sadness, is joy will bring more joy, bring back joy. 3 months later, it was a Farbrengen in honor of the release of the first Chabad Rebbe from the Tsar.
The first Rebbe, not the Friedrich Rebbe, that was from the Soviet Union. He wasn't the only one.
Almost every Chabad Rebbe was in jail in one way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Yeah, it's almost like you cannot be a Rebbe if you're not in jail type of thing.
Right.
Then we celebrated in December. Mm-hmm. It's before Hanukkah, 2 weeks before Hanukkah. A week before Hanukkah is the 19th of Kislev. A big celebration. Then the Rebbe was a big celebration, and the Rebbe mentioned the same question. People are asking. It was already better, 1973. It was not like Yom Kippur, 3 days later. Mm-hmm. But still, thousands of soldiers were all over the borders. I remember my father going on Hanukkah, traveling to very far places, coming back late at night to bring them the joy of the holiday. There were soldiers everywhere. He says, now it's a time to celebrate. The Rebbe said something very interesting. He told a story about when the Alter Rebbe was in jail. It was a lot of the government had a lot of philosophers, and they wanted to understand what is the Hasidic movement. You say it's not against the government. What is it? Then they asked very intellectual questions, and there were many people who were influenced by the French culture. There were a lot of intellectuals. One of the questions was, in the book Tanya, the Bible of Chabad, if you want, is written in the first chapter that the souls of the Jewish people is from a higher source than the souls of the rest of the world. They told them, what does this mean? Like, they were a little maybe insulted, I don't know. He answered the many questions, came to this question, he smiled. And they took the smile as an answer. Later he spoke about a concept that's called that joy sweeten the judgment, sweets the judgment, the severities. Means to say, he said, and I saw it in the investigation. With a smile, you know, a smile can diffuse a situation.
Sure.
Instead of giving many explanations, you just give one smile. People can translate it as an apology, as an expression of love, as a way I have nothing against you, as a way I made a mistake. Yeah. One smile can do what 10 speeches cannot do. Then the Rebbe said, in the Kabbalistic concept is, joy sweetens the severities. Again, the same concept. If the what means sweeten, the Rebbe said, not only not only makes it go away, it turns the bad into something sweet. It turns it around. When people are afraid, oh, it actually comes out to be the best thing for you. Sometimes you think, oh, you did a bad deal, it was a bad business, and then it comes out to be the best thing for you. With a little joy, you can turn it into the best thing.
Yep.
And then a few days later, after Yom Kippur, a whole delegation of Hasidim came to the Rebbe. The Rebbe, with the long faces, Rebbe, please pray for the Jews in Israel. We have our children in the army. The Rebbe said to them, I'm in a state of joy, and you want me to put in a state of sadness, worry? Why are you trying to worry me? I want to help Israel with joy, because joy brings joy. Blessing, happiness brings happiness. And you're trying to go to bring me to you in your state of mind? He wasn't happy with this, with their approach. Always the Rebbe believed that the best way to deal with any problem that a person deals with is with joy. Just like everything in Judaism, we believe in a concept, then we do it every day of the year, but one day of the year it becomes the day that this gives us the strength for the rest of the year. Like being a freedom, spiritual freedom, we have Pesach to represent freedom. We celebrate Pesach and we take the concept for the rest of the year. The day of joy in the Jewish calendar is Simchas Torah. When you come and dance with the Torah and you say L'chaim and you really get, you're sweating. I will not ask you to sweat like we sweat in 770 by the Rebbe. I just saw today many clips. It was unbelievable what was going on there.
He was the only one there not drinking.
You're right. No, I didn't drink either. There's at least two and many more. Anybody wanted to be awake and see what's going on didn't drink, understand? Because
right.
If you drink, and you lose it. I didn't drink one drop there. Because there's always a for drinking and a talk and a this and a yens. If you drink, you slip away, you lost the whole party. You miss the party. But the joy was brings you such excitement, and you bring upon yourself more joy, and the happiness of God is on your face. But for this to resolve, to diffuse all your problems, you have to come Simchas Torah, make the effort, say Alechaim, dance a little bit. The dancing here is very short, I can tell you that. And then you left joy for the rest of the year.